do you want to be?
Hey, we're back here on Downtown. Rich Kimball with you, and time for us to talk some basketball. Of course, we're always better off to do that when we call on our friend John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing well, thanks. How was your 4th of July weekend?
Uneventful, which is exactly the way it should be.
Absolutely, yeah. Good to get a little time off and chill a little bit after a busy year. It's already been a busy off season for the Celtics. A couple of interesting moves last week for the team. I like what they're doing so far.
Yeah, to get Danilo Gallinari on a, you know, that taxpayer mid-level helps. And then obviously the big thing is getting Brogdon for basically a steal, considering some of the deals that are being thrown around out there. To get Brogdon in that, you know, you're really only giving up Daniel Theis as a pseudo-rotation player and a protected first-round pick, which will, in all likelihood, convey if everything goes the way it's supposed to go. That was a nice pickup. Now, the Celtics, I think, addressed what they were trying to accomplish in the offseason. They got some bench scoring. I don't think it's inconceivable to say you can get at least 20, 25 points off the bench from those guys. And that alone is going to be huge for the Celtics. So you get some playmaking as well, a little bit of size, some shooting. You know, the defense isn't going to be exactly where you want it to be, but I think those guys are going to be used in situations where the rest of the defense can make up for what you lose over there. And so I think two really, really good signings or moves.
So let's start with Gallinari. What do they get from him that Daniel Theis couldn't provide?
Gallinari? Yeah. Well, just more consistent shooting, I think, is going to be the, like, Daniel Theis is a better defender, but the inconsistencies with the shooting, Gallinari can go out there and get you close to 38, 40% from three. With his size at 6'10", you're not asking him to guard all over the court, but to put him out there and require some level of size. I mean, he can work in the post. He's very effective in the post, which is an important element to his game. So if you go small, you can get it to Gallinari inside, and he can work. Not like your traditional Shaquille O'Neal post player, but he can work out of there and make you pay for going smaller. But if you go bigger, he can draw a guy out. So I think he gives you all of that extra shooting, and that's going to help when you want to give Al Horford a little bit of a break, because he's going to need more breaks as he gets a little bit older here. It's going to be very important to limit some minutes out there. You can use him in a couple of different ways there to help keep guys on the bench, you know, for a few extra minutes and keep that offense working.
As for Brogdon, how many minutes do you see him playing in an average game?
Well, I mean, he's so used to playing in the 30s, but I think if they can just keep him 25 to 30, I think that'll be enough. And I'm hoping that the reduced workload will be enough to kind of keep him healthier. That's going to be the big question with him, is can he stay on the floor? If the Celtics can keep him at 25 to 30, shorter stints, 6 minutes here, 6 or 7 minutes in each stint, well, there you go. That's your 25 to 30 right in there. So play him a little bit more when he's doing well. Play him a little bit less if he's not feeling great. But if he can give you 65 to 70 games at 25 to 30 minutes, then that's going to just be massive. That, I think, if he can do that, the Celtics can be a top seed.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown on Boston Sports Journal. He also wrote about Sam Hauser, who could be an interesting guy for them that can really allow them to go deeper on their bench.
Yeah, they just signed him to a 3-year deal. Cheap money, $6 million. It always sounds funny saying $6 million is cheap money, but I'd love that cheap money. But for Hauser, he's going to show, hopefully in summer league, some increased defensive abilities, a little bit more consistent shooting for him, just to show the Celtics that he's growing as an overall player. They basically made the decision to move Aaron Nesmith in that deal for Brogdon. They've kind of chosen Sam Hauser. So he's going to be a guy that will have particular interest. The Celtics believe in him to be a potential contributor next season. And if he can be, I mean, look, we're not asking much from him. I think if he can come in, play, you know, half the games, you know, 41 games, come in, hit a couple of three-pointers whenever he does come in, then that's what the Celtics are hoping for. If he can, he's got some good size. He's a 6'8". So if he can learn some of the defensive concepts, if he can get down and move well, then he could be a guy that's a little bit surprising. And the big thing is that there's no pressure on him because they're kind of rolling nine deep as it is. You've got Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, Danilo Gallinari off the bench. You throw in Grant Williams, there's your nine. We haven't even talked about Peyton Pritchard, so I think Hauser's going to be in that mix. So I think this is going to be an interesting summer league for him, and the Celtics are hoping that he can contribute next season.
So do they need to do anything else? Have they taken care of their biggest needs?
Well, I think the biggest needs are met as far as scoring, bench, a little bit more potency off the bench. They could go and look for another serviceable big man. They re-signed Luke Kornet, so as a third big, giving him 10, 15 minutes a game, that could be enough. But I think they could take their veteran minimum and try to add just one more big, maybe a different style of big, maybe more of a power big if he's out there, that that can help ease the kind of the workload of Robert Williams and Al Horford. You just want to make sure that those two guys stay healthy. We know what the playoffs are going to look like. We know what the starting five is going to be. We know you're probably only going to go eight deep in the playoffs. So the Celtics just need guys that can eat some minutes here and there during the regular season. But if they don't and they just rely on Luke Kornet, here's the thing. If you go into the season and say, hey, let's roll with Luke Kornet, let's see, and it doesn't work, well, you still got some traded player exceptions that come December, when some of the free agent signings restrictions are lifted, you can go out there and shop around for a big man. So even if they are done for now, they have tools during the course of the season that they can add something if they feel like they need to.
I enjoyed your Independence Day themed look at expectations for next year. Impressive knowledge of history, not just basketball, John, but I like the 56 that you projected as a win total for next season. Is that a conservative estimate?
I think it actually can be. Look, the Celtics won, 51 games this past season? So why not? 56 is easy. Now, 56... the number of signees of the Declaration of Independence, the signers of the Declaration of Independence. So that was a nice number to go with the theme. But they could win 56 or more. I hesitate to get into 60 win territory just because it's such a magic number to say this team is a 60 win team. They very well could be, but I think when you consider the moves that the Celtics have made, I think they are probably one of the two or three favorites to come out of the East at this point, along with probably Milwaukee and I'd say Philadelphia at this point right now. But if some other things don't work out for other teams, there could be some chum at the bottom of the East that the Celtics can feed on.
I also hope your 200 projection is accurate.
Yeah, we don't want to. The 200 was, for people who didn't read it, 200 is the number of copies of the Declaration of Independence that were made on July 4th, 1776. So 200 is, for me, the absolute maximum number of turnovers for an individual Celtic. Jason Tatum had 217. So basically what I'm saying is, Jason, cut down your turnovers. I think he can. He was at 2.9 per game. If he got it under 200, that would be about 2.6 per game. If we can get it down a little bit lower, 2.3, low twos in there, that's much more palatable. You know, every player that has the usage rates that Tatum and Brown and even Smart have, when you have the ball in your hands that much, you're going to turn it over. It's just going to happen. But if it only happens a couple times a game, then you're fine. You don't want it to start happening 3-plus times per game. So keep it under the 200 total for the season, and I think the Celtics would be fine.
If you haven't read John's piece yet, do it. What's wrong with you? Get your subscription to Boston Sports Journal. If it were just for John's work alone, it would still be a bargain. John, always great to talk with you. Thank you, my friend. We'll catch up with you again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then. See you.